Welcome to your next HR Wisdom resource. This is Ben Gagan from HR Wisdom, and today I'm joined by Jackie Alder, a consultant with extensive and diverse experience across human resources, change management, organisational development, and industrial relations. Jackie's experience has been gained across a variety of industry sectors, including resources, manufacturing, transport, government, and defence. Jackie has had significant achievements across a range of areas, with projects including organisational change, culture change, organisational redesign, systems implementation, workforce reform, and cost improvement. We've asked Jackie to share her expertise in different aspects of the difficult process of managing redundancies in the workplace. Let's get started. So we're going through difficult economic times, and when going through redundancies, it can be a difficult process. But how can a business go through this process and still preserve employee goodwill?
Ben, thank you for that question, and that word goodwill is a particularly good one, because if one thinks of it in that context, when you have goodwill, everyone's working together and there's a sense of the energy being shared towards a goal. And the opposite of goodwill is ill will. So if you don't have goodwill, you have ill will. And it doesn't take much of a mental leap to realise that if you have ill will in your organisation from your employees, that things perhaps aren't going to work as effectively as they could. So how do you make such a difficult decision and implement it and still maintain as much as possible goodwill? We have to be realistic. It's emotional and difficult, and not everyone is people are certainly not going to be happy about it. So we have to acknowledge that. But for me, there's a few keys, and one of those is about the communication process. There have been circumstances that have been in the media recently where employees are apparently surprised that there are going to be redundancies, and that to me indicates that there's a big communication gap. So one of the first keys is to be communicating regularly and openly with your employees, and two-way, and hearing from them about how the business is going and tracking. If you have that constant open communication, there's less than likely to be surprises. Unforeseen events do happen, and we know that because a lot of them have just happened all at once. But when unforeseen events happen, the same thing applies. Tell people about it. Say this has happened. Be open. If you don't know what that means, or if you don't know what you're going to do next, say. People do understand that, unforeseen things happen, and it takes some time to work out what you're going to do next. But at least acknowledging that, saying that you're looking at the problem and we'll keep our communications open, mean that people, this is a classic change management process. People are psychologically prepared that, okay, something's coming, we don't know what. Yes, you might have the downside of increasing uncertainty. Generally that happens because these things end up coming out either on the rumour mill or in the media anyway, so it's best to have that information come directly from the leadership of the organisation. It helps to build and maintain trust, which is an important element of goodwill and an important thing that's going to take you through whatever is to come. The second key thing for me is how you go about deciding what you're going to do in relation to reducing numbers of employees, categories of employees. I have heard some stories of leaders sitting in conference rooms with organisation charts and shifting boxes around. The focus needs to be on what the business needs for the future in the changed circumstance, and also what you no longer need. So what will you keep doing, what will you stop doing, and what will you start doing. So focus those decisions around the future needs of the business. and the communication thread runs through everything. Communicate with employees and other stakeholders as to where you're going and why. Again, we have to take into account commercial realities, sensitivities, but there does seem to have been too much of a focus on obeying the rules and the regulations of market disclosure and forgetting the rules of actually good people management and keeping connected with your employees. Employees will again understand if you have to say, I can't give you all the information because there's commercial sensitivities, but at least give them what you can. Something is better than silence, because in silence people will make up their own stories to fill the gap. For me, and once you've made your decisions, the key then is how you implement them. The, for want of a better word, the termination process is key. So, number one, people have no surprises. They know where the business is heading and tracking. Number two, your decision processes are rational and based on what the business needs, perhaps rather than short-term panic or knee-jerk reactions. And then it's okay, we've managed that. The easiest place to destroy it is by conducting the process itself poorly. And that process starts with how you communicate that to the individuals and to the groups, and it continues to go on with how you treat the individuals that are affected. And the people that are going to be left behind are looking very keenly to see how you do that, and they're looking for you to treat them with respect and dignity despite the difficult circumstances. And that is not just giving them outplacement. Outplacement is a great service, and a lot of organisations provide outplacement. Outplacement is the service where you have a professional generally aid you in the termination conversation, but it aids the employee who is displaced, who finds himself with no job, in the process of, well, facing the change and deciding what they're going to do in the future. So helping them to find employment or start a business, whatever that decision may be. So that's commonly done by a lot of large organisations these days, and that is if your organisation is able to provide that service, that is a good thing. But there is a reliance on, if you give employees outplacement, you've done your termination process well. Running your termination process poorly, sending someone an email that says that they've got a report at 2 o'clock, you know, to find about the future of their position, and marching them out the door without the opportunity to empty their desk or say goodbye to their colleagues, would destroy anything else that you do up till then. So how you do that, be humane, be open, and, you know, think very seriously about the need to have someone walk out the door as soon as they are terminated. There are some circumstances where that is necessary, but I believe those circumstances are the 20%, not the 80%. So really think about that, because the impact of a march out termination is a little similar to the impact of you being, you know, a family. You sit around the dinner table every night and there's 6 chairs. Suddenly, imagine what it be like if one of your family members doesn't turn up. You know that they've kind of gone somewhere and they're not going to be living with you anymore. You don't really know what's happened to them beyond then, and you haven't got to see them or say goodbye. So the person, the empty chair, sits there to remind you of that person, and you start to wonder what's going on. And that point leads into my last point, is remember the people that are left behind. One, as I said earlier, they'll be very keenly watching how you treat the people who have to be made redundant. And part of their energy for that process will be focused on that and on the concerns for them and the concerns for themselves. If you do that poorly, you will lose goodwill. So you will have people sitting in the chairs at the table, perhaps not engaged at what you need them to be engaged at. So they need to be communicated with and supported, as well as the people who are leaving the organisation. And once you've got through the phase of implementing the painful part, you need to refocus those people and say, we've done this because this is our eye to the future, and start getting people focused on the eye to the future. Quite often it is such a difficult thing at all levels for the people who are implementing it, as well as the people who are on the receiving end, that one gets to the end of the process and we've cut our numbers, we've achieved our targets, and then there's a gap. And in that gap, energy, goodwill and momentum can fall to the wayside, and the business can find itself not moving in the direction that they anticipated.
Thanks for joining us on today's HR Wisdom interview. Make sure you're on the mailing list so that we can let you know about further resources. Also, keep checking back to the HR Wisdom blog for the latest news, and you can find that at www.hrwisdom.com.au. Thanks again.